Hey guys, welcome to the Frokers Podcast, where we talk about things that you probably should too. Today I'm joined by...
I'm Jeevans.
And Noah's not here because supposedly he had food poisoning. I use the word supposedly there in the biggest quotation marks I can do. Over text. Also, if you hear a mower, I'm hoping you don't. But the person next door just decided in this exact moment in time they needed to mow the grass. Where there's time where we would have had that they could have done it, but they didn't do it then. They're doing it now. But still, John says he can't hear it over Discord. And Discord has a pretty bad suppressor for that kind of stuff. So if he can't hear it, I think we should be okay. Even still, if you do, I can. Well, I mean, for you would be processed already, but like for if I hear it in post, I can always get rid of it in post, or at least the majority of it, so we'll be fine. So John, you been doing anything crazy recently?
I think, like I said, last week, there was a move going on, and we moved successfully without loss to our lives.
And... yeah, I mean, that's pretty important.
Yeah, so that is, we've been unpacking and doing all that sort of new house stuff.
You love to see it. Yeah, as for me, you know, there's been things going on. I'm not going to specify, but there's been things going on that I've been able to press the reset button. You know, that we had an episode titled that, the reset button. That was more of just like your people forgot who you were or whatever. But I mean it in a metaphorical sense. That press the reset button. It's been refreshing, to say the least. So, yeah, not much else there. Just been playing games with family and stuff. So, but we're gonna move right on into the headlines, and the one that's kind of impossible to avoid in the YouTube sphere is that Mr. Beast himself, the person no one thought could be canceled, is getting canceled. Mind you, for decently good reasons. So first of all, the Beast Games, that's one of the bigger things people are, trying to, again, I use the word cancel, but people are harping on him for, because the Beast Games is apparently not safe. Contestants that have been in the Beast Games, or like that are currently in them, have come out and said, especially for women, that it's been really hard, because like, for women, for example, there's someone that had to leave a bad pad in for at least a couple days, and from what I've been told by people and the internet, that can cause diseases. That can be dangerous. So yeah, that's sad to see. There's some other things people had said about the safety and stuff like that. I guess people were like fighting over food and stuff, like, and apparently the crew was just watching that happen. So yeah, that's a little shady. Obviously there was, the situation with his former coworker as well, which that's mostly blown over. It's more so about the Beast Games now, but still, that's still looming in the background. So yeah, a lot of stuff with Mr. Beast. I'm not totally sure. I've heard both sides, and obviously I don't really watch him really much, but I obviously appreciate that he would be donating the stuff, and there is public records for him donating stuff, so there is still that, but I'm curious as to why the Beast Games is happening the way it is, because it's like former employees as well as contestants have all come out and said this, so I don't know who's at fault there. Like, obviously I'm sure Mr. Beast has some blame, but Beast Games is being made with Amazon, so I don't know if Amazon also has a part to play in it, but I don't know, we'll see what happens when that is all over. But yeah, if you're on the YouTube sphere, then it's kind of impossible to avoid that. So there you go. So we're moving right on to the creator showcase. So I have one that's really interesting. Their name is From Scratch Bakery. I believe they are from Ireland. Actually, I believe their bakery is also in Ireland as well. And essentially, they kind of make these skits where they make different things about saying, oh, here's what people have said to me as a baker, because she's a baker. And they'll ask the most ridiculous things. It's like, it's a lot of skit content, but it's also like, you look at the people that have come into her store and been like, yeah, can I get a gluten-free, what was it, they wanted a nut-free cake, and then proceeded to order an almond cake. It's like, are you stupid? So it's like they do all this kind of and really fun stuff, and it kind of shows you how stupid some people are. Like, yeah, I want a dairy free cake, but make sure you put milk in it. It's like, what?
Right.
So yeah, From Scratch Bakery is their name. So go on, head on over to check them out. But
nice.
On YouTube, of course. Most a lot of the people I talk about are on YouTube. They might be on other stuff too, but I mostly care about YouTube. So, with that being said, we're going to move on to the actual topic, which the topic was originally going to be a game show, and then Noah screwed it all up. So, there's that. Because obviously, doing a game show with just John wouldn't make much sense. John, you've won! Congratulations! You fought really hard. Your contestants were really gunning for you, but you were able to pull through. So, good job.
Nice.
No, but obviously,
game shows.
we obviously can't do that. So I looked through our list that we have of all of our ideas for episodes, and I saw AI Love Advice, and that was one I put on there a long time ago because I believe, you know, not that we're trying to steal on purpose, but I believe Distractible had done that. Which, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this yet, but on RSS specifically, I don't know if it's on other platforms yet. But there's on RSS, you can actually recommend another podcast. So if you like another podcast, we can recommend them. And I've officially recommended Distractible. So if you go to our RSS page, you will see our podcast, obviously. But underneath our podcast, you'll see recommended shows or whatever it says, and you'll find Distractible. So if you somehow can't find Distractible yourself, or you want to, if you somehow never heard of Distractible and you want to check them out, but please go do it, because a lot of our formats were based on them. Our topics mostly aren't. So there's a couple here and there. But still, I think AI Love Advice is going to be interesting because we're going to get different responses. I didn't even listen to their episode about AI Love Advice. I just saw that was a title and I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. And the reason we thought this would be a good idea to do without Noah is because he is terrible with InfraKid anyway. So doesn't matter. We're also not using InfraKid because apparently it discontinued. It is no longer a thing, which makes me very sad because InfraKid was awesome. So we're using the next best thing, which is ChatGPT. We're going to be asking it some common love questions. I almost think I should look up some like common love questions, or like questions to ask. Or like, I guess because you don't want to be dating the robot. We're asking the robot for advice to date someone else. And obviously, this is a fictional, imaginary person we're dating, so we'll have to see. But so what's the first question we should ask it? See what we get.
I feel like we should ask it like this is very simply how to ask someone out.
How to ask someone out? Yeah, we can do that. How to ask someone out. Let's see what it gives you. Can you go away? Yeah. It's giving me a to-do list. What did it give you?
I still getting mine.
Oh, you're still getting yours?
Okay. So I'll start reading it because they give me a response. Asking someone out on a date can feel nerve-wracking. But keeping it straightforward and genuine usually works best. Here's a simple approach. Be clear and direct. It's best to be clear about your intentions. You might say something like, I really enjoy spending time with you and was wondering if you'd like to go out with me sometime. 2, suggest a specific activity, offering a specific plan to make it easier for the other person to respond. For instance, would you like to grab coffee with me this weekend? Or how about a dinner at restaurant name on Friday? Be respectful. Make sure you give them space to think about it and respond in their own time. You can say, no pressure at all, just let me know if you're interested. And be yourself. Authenticity is key. Speak a way that feels natural to you and don't put on a facade. 5, keep it light, especially if you're unsure about your feelings. Keep it. Well, why would you be unsure about your feelings if you ask?
I'm unsure about this person.
Keeping the tone light and friendly. I thought it'd be a lot of fun to go see a movie together. What do you think? No matter how they respond, being respectful and considerate is important. Good luck.
Okay, so I got something similar. It's basically like a bullet thing. I got choose the right time and place. Pick a moment when the person isn't busy or stressed. Be confident and positive. Confidence is attractive. Stand tall, make eye contact, and smile. Start with a casual conversation. Ease into the conversation with small talk or a topic you're both comfortable with. Express your interest. Be honest and straightforward about your feelings. Suggest a specific plan. Having a specific plan can make it easier for the person to say yes. For example, there's a new cafe downtown that I think you'll love. How about we check it out this Saturday? Be prepared for any response. While you hope for a positive response, be prepared for any outcome. If they say yes, great. If not, respect their decision and don't take it personally. follow up. If they agree to go out with you, make sure to follow up with the details and confirm your plans. Here's an example of how you might ask someone out. Hey, person's name. I really enjoy our chats and think you're a lot of fun. I was wondering if you'd like to grab a coffee with me sometime this week. There's a new place I think you'd like. Good luck. That's great. I love the hey person name. it's in parentheses. So that's really fun. I'm sorry if you hear dogs. There's bark. It's nothing. Anyway. Okay, so here's what I think we ask it. I think we ask it, should, on a first date, that's the first thing you say, on a first date, should we go somewhere expensive or cheap? I think that's a good question to ask. So on a first date, should we go somewhere expensive or cheap? That's the question you should ask. Let's see what we get. Let's give me considerations.
It's gonna be a 5-point response as well.
I got I got 4 points, but I'm getting a balances approach. Okay, what is this? So I got comfort and expectations. Choose a place where both of you will feel comfortable. A very expensive place might feel too formal or put pressure on both of you to act a certain way. A too cheap place might seem like you're not putting in enough effort. McDonald's it is. conversation friendly. Pick a location that allows for good conversation. Louder. Overly busy place can be distracting, so like not a bar, basically. Shared interests. Consider your shared interests. A cozy cafe, a casual restaurant, a walk in the park, or a fun activity can often be better than a fancy dinner. Budget. Be realistic about your budget. It's important to plan a date with your means to avoid financial stress. It is also considerate to think about your date's comfort with spending. An overly expensive place might make them feel uncomfortable. And I got a balanced approach. Mid-range options. A mid-range restaurant or cafe can strike a good balance, offering a pleasant atmosphere without being overly formal or expensive. Activities. Sometimes activities like a visit to a museum, boring. A walk in the park or a casual event can be more engaging and less pressure than a meal. Casual dining. Casual but nice dining options like a well-reviewed local restaurant, a trendy cafe, or a cool food market can be great choices. Interesting. Conclusion. Ultimately, the goal is to create an environment where both of you feel at ease and can get to know each other. Yep, makes sense. What did they give you something similar, or is it all different?
Yeah, it wasn't too terribly different. So it says the choice between expensive and or cheap venue for the first date depends on a few factors. first comfort and authenticity. Choose a place where both of you will feel comfortable. If a fancy restaurant feels too formal or intimidating, casual cafe or fun activity like mini golf might be more relaxed and enjoyable. 2. Budget. It's important to pick a place that fits your budget. The goal of the first date is to get to know each other, not impress with extravagance. Interests. Consider the interests of both you and your date. A place that aligns with shared hobbies or passions can be more meaningful and engaging. 4. Conversation. A setting where you can easily talk to each other is key. Sometimes a quieter, more intimate spot is better for conversation than a high-end restaurant with a lot of noise and distractions. I mean, if it's a high-end, there's probably not a whole lot of noise because it's usually the nicer restaurants. People are respectful because they're spending a lot of money.
But well, you say that, but like the people, apparently foreigners that have come to the U.S., I hear it from a lot of like UK and German people where they're like, yeah, I've never noticed how freaking loud Americans are. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I probably would notice that if I had gone out of state or out of a country, because I think that in Germany, I've heard there's like the bars are really loud, but like just normal casual restaurants aren't. So.
Right. It definitely depends on how many people are in it. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the fifth one is expectations. Be mindful of the impression you want to make. Casual venue doesn't mean you're not interested. It can actually show that you're down to earth and focused on the experience rather than the cost. Also, make the best choice of somewhere that fosters good conversation and relaxed atmosphere, regardless of the price tag. So it really just said, don't go expensive, without saying don't go expensive.
Yeah, don't do expensive, yeah. Which I think, honestly, I actually sort of, this isn't really part of the segment. We're just trying to actually get advice here. But one thing I will say is that I kind of agree. If you're dating someone that expects you to take them to a high-end restaurant on the first date, like obviously once you get to know them, sure, you can open up that door. But for a first date, like a super pristine, like wear a suit type of event, yeah, no thanks. Like I just met you. I'm not paying for your $700 bottle of wine when I don't even know you, you know what I mean? So.
Right. Yeah, I definitely feel like this is a this is good advice. It does seem that it, like it made it sound like they were gonna make an argument for both, but it's just like it depends on a few factors. This is all the reasons why you should go.
Why you shouldn't do it, yeah. But okay, I think I have the next. I think I have the perfect next question. So let me get
okay.
It. Give me some good pickup lines. Let's see what it gives us. Give me some good pickup lines. Oh, I can't wait to hear these. Oh no! Oh no! Oh no! Oh no! This is bad. Oh no!
Okay. Do you want me to go first?
We're just gonna swap. So it's you're going first.
Yeah. So it says, "Sure, here's some pickup lines that are charming and lighthearted."
Oh, no.
I didn't ask for charming and lighthearted. do you have a map? Because I keep getting lost in your eyes. Are you a magician? Because wherever I look, everyone else disappears. If you were a vegetable, you'd be a cucumber.
Wow.
That is not
That's
even
pretty
a good
bad. That's pretty bad, yeah.
do you have a name or do I call you mine? That's a
wow.
little forceful, but sure. See where you go with that one. Is your name Google because you have everything I've been searching for? That sounds pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah. I haven't heard that one before.
Do you believe in love at first sight, or should I walk by again?
Yeah, I've heard that one so many times.
You're stealing people's lines, ChatGPT.
Yep.
Excuse me, but I think you dropped something. My job. That okay. Are you a time traveler? Because I can't imagine a future without you. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But, okay. Yeah, there's two more, but they're just as bad. So.
Yeah. I actually got a lot of the same ones, actually. So I didn't really get much difference. I got the only one I got that's different. I got two that's different. So for an observational comment is what this one's under. You must be a parking ticket because you've got fine written all over you. there's that one. Is there another one? The magician one I got as well. Oh, yeah. Are you made of copper or tellurium? Because you're a QT. Got him. And then that's really the only two that were different. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, give me some funny pickup lines.
Right.
See if it actually gives me, like, cause if you're trying to, like, pickup lines don't actually work. So if you're going to do one, do a funny one to make them laugh.
It gives me, do my job for me, ChatGPT. Give me some jokes.
Oh, these aren't funny. They're just normal. Is your name Wi-Fi? Because I'm feeling a connection.
Yeah, one of the ones I got, a couple of the ones I got were the exact same.
This one made me laugh, so I gotta give it a points for that. If you were a burger at McDonald's, you'd be the McGorgeous. Like, what does that even mean? The McGorgeous.
That was good.
Can you lend me a kiss? I promise I'll give it back. That's pretty good. Are you a bank loan? Because you have my interest. Yep. No, do you have a sunburn or are you always as hot? That's pretty good. Is your dad a boxer because you're a knockout? I don't know. What does that have to do with your dad? Do you have a band-aid? Because I scraped my knee falling for you. Come on, man. That's like that's pickup line 101 not to use that one.
Yeah.
I have an idea.
I think.
Give me some dirty pickup lines. Would it allow me to do that? Hang on. Does it allow me to say that? Or is it like, sorry, I can't do that. Oh, no, it is doing it. Okay. It is doing it. It's just saying it's important to approach this with a caution as not everyone appreciates or is comfortable with explicit pickup lines, especially if you don't know the person well. Okay, I've heard this one. Do you have a mirror in your pocket? Because I always see myself in your pants. Do you have a map? Because I keep being lost in your eyes and I might need some directions. How's that dirty? This one's hilarious. Are you campfire? Because you're hot and I want some more. That's like, it's hilarious for how bad it is. Are you a magician? Because whenever I look at you, everyone else disappears. That's not dirty, really. Do you have a sunburn or are you always this hot and ready? This hot and ready! It's Little Caesars.
I feel like, are you Little Caesars? Oh, are you always this hot ready? Or something like along those lines would be more interesting and funny than something.
Do you like Little Caesars? Because you're hot and ready. Like, make it weird. Right. So did you type in, give me some dirty ones, see what I give you?
Yeah, none of them really were. This one is your body a wonderland? Because I'd love to be Alice.
Oh, no.
That one is probably the most explicit out of all the ones I gave you.
Okay. So moving off of pickup lines, what's another good, like, question to ask it? What do questions people ask for this? So, like, we've asked it where we should go. We've asked it how to introduce ourselves, basically the pickup lines. What should we order? Because, like, what you order is actually kind of a strategic approach, right? Because it kind of tells them what's on your mind and how you, like, eat stuff. Because if you order wings or something that's messy, you're going to leave a bad impression automatically. So you got to be careful with that kind of stuff. If you order a salad, you might seem a little pretentious sometimes. Not like this was just, like, the statistic I saw a while ago. That, like, it was, like, they surveyed 100 females, 100 males, and they're like, oh, what do you order on a first date? And salad was, like, only two people chose it. And they said that, oh, maybe people that had a salad automatically thought they were being pretentious. So I don't know I don't know if there's a correlation there, but there is a correlation for the chicken wings. So I'm going to ask it on a first date, just so it knows we're still on a date. On a first date, what should I order? At a restaurant. I'm going to make sure that it understands it's at a restaurant. At a restaurant. Okay, on a first date, what should I order at a restaurant? Let's see what it gives me. Choosing what to order on a first date can help you with more comfortable... Oh, yeah, you should probably go first, actually.
Yeah, it's... Okay, so choosing what to order on a date can be a bit tricky, but aiming for something that's comfortable and manageable is usually a good strategy. Here are some tips to help you decide. Consider the venue. Choose something appropriate for the type of place you're at. For a casual cafe restaurant, go for a meal you're comfortable eating in a relaxed setting. Well, usually that's what's on the menu, so I feel like that one is a little silly, but says, keep it simple. Opt for dishes that are easy to eat and won't create a mess. Avoid foods that might be difficult to handle or could potentially embarrass you, like overly saucy dishes or foods that are prone to spill, so like what you're saying with the wings.
Yeah.
It says, be mindful of allergies and preferences. If you know your date has a dietary restrictions or preferences, consider them when choosing your order. But I'm not ordering for them.
Well, there's some ones that are so bad that if they're even near it, then they
pop. Right, that is true. But like, I feel like that the preferences is the one that's like a little... what's a little not relevant, because you don't have to like what I like. That's not how dating works all the time.
Yeah.
And it says order something you enjoy in the next one. So like, what if they don't? That isn't one of their preferences. Then you're contradicting yourself, ChatGPT. And it says avoid overindulgence. Ordering a huge meal or several courses might seem overwhelming. A balanced, reasonable order helps keep the focus on conversation and connection.
So you didn't really get a lot of like actual recommendations. You just got like, here's some tips to learn about it. I got like actual recommendations. So I have like example choices: casual cafe or bistro, a well-made sandwich or wrap with a side of salad or fries, a chicken Caesar salad or a quinoa bowl. I don't know how to say it. Quinoa bowl? I don't know how to say it. Italian restaurant, classic pasta dishes like penne alla vodka. Ooh, I love penne. Dude, have you had penne alla vodka? Or even any sort of vodka dish?
I don't think so.
Like, I don't think I'd like the vodka straight. Because obviously when you cook vodka, it cooks out the alcohol. But like, it does taste pretty good in pasta. It's really good. Or fettuccine alfredo, they know. Fettuccine alfredo is the goat. A margarita pizza to share. That's really good. American restaurant, a grilled chicken or a fish entree with vegetables, a gourmet burger with a side, Asian restaurant, sushi rolls that are easy to eat. I literally cannot have sushi, so take that, GPT. Stir fry is good too. A rice bowl, Mexican restaurant, tacos or a burrito bowl, fajitas can be fun and interactive. So I got like just actual, like suggestions. You got suggestions, but you more so got like tips over suggestions.
Right.
Okay. So we're constructing the first data here. So we have the location. We're introducing ourselves. We're having what we know we're gonna order. What would be next? What's an icebreaker? Should we ask that? Because like when you're sitting at the table, you're gonna need some of those, right? So if it asks me like, whoa, how's the weather? I'm gonna punch this thing. What I'm gonna paraphrase it is, what's a good icebreaker on a first date? Do that. Okay, a good icebreaker can set a positive tone and help ease any initial awkwardness on a first date. Here are some good ideas. Ooh, okay, it's similar to the food ones, giving me a list here. Shared interest. What's the best book you've read or movie you've seen recently? Have you traveled anywhere interesting lately or have any dream destinations? Fun and quirky questions. If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why? That's kind of boring. What's the most useful thing on your bucket list? That's interesting. Hobbies and passions. What do you enjoy doing in your free time? Classic. Is there a hobby or activity you've always wanted to try? Classic. Lighthearted and funny. What's the funniest thing that's happened to you recently? If you were an animal, which one would you be and why? Food and dining. Do you have a favorite type of cuisine or restaurant? What's the most memorable meal you've had? Hypothetical scenarios. If you could live in any time period, past, present, future, which would it be? If you won the lottery tomorrow, what's the first thing you do? Buy a Lamborghini, obviously. Current events, pop culture. Have you ever been following any interesting shows or podcasts? Whoa! Any shows or podcasts? I mean, listen. There's so many podcasts out there that you gotta find the right podcast, alright? There's so many ones that just smoke and mirrors, that they're just all a bunch of a hooey, right? Well, I personally recommend the Provokers podcast. They're a great podcast that do a lot of good stuff. They talk about some serious topics here and there. They talk about really funny topics to lighten the mood about maybe your day sucked and you will need something to listen to that'll make you laugh. Well, that's what the Provokers podcast does. And I heard from a very important, intelligent source that the Provokers podcast is also just awesome. It's just filled with like two semi-handsome dudes. I'll leave you to figure out who the two are. And, you know, it's just awesome. You should check it out. It's the Provokers. You can find it on you can find it on any platform. It's not restrictive. Like, literally any platform, even the underground ones that no one's ever heard of. You can find us there, too. So, anyway. John, what'd you get?
The self-promo in your own thing.
I mean, listen, it opened the door when it said, have you been following any interesting shows or podcasts?
Imagine, like, also just promoting your own podcast during a date.
Have you heard of the Provokers podcast? No? Well, let me tell you about it. That'd be so funny. Oh, man. Because obviously, like, let's say for, like, realistic, right, if me or you were having on a first date, they might ask, oh, what's your hobbies? And you could say, oh, well, I do a podcast. But, like, to do it right in the way you were talking about, it's like, have you heard the Provokers before? Have you heard of the Provokers podcast? Well, you should. It's like, this is the biggest self-promotion. Like, she's going to feel like she's in an ad promo.
Is this being recorded?
Yeah. Am I being punked right now? What's going on?
I thought it was just a normal day, and then you just came in here, like, promo talk, telling me about your podcast.
But, yeah, what'd you get? Did you get anything different?
A lot of the same. There's one that I thought was decent. Most of them are the same. So I got, what are your most interesting thing you've read or watched recently, which I think you got.
Yeah.
If you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would they be and why? What's a hobby or activity you've always wanted to try but haven't? Do you have any unusual talents or party tricks? What's the best vacation you've ever been on? That's a good one. If you could instantly become expert in anything, what would it be? What's your favorite? Yeah, because that one is actually like, it shows like what they're interested in, what they value, that sort of thing. So that's a good one as well. What's your favorite way to spend the weekend? Have you ever had a funny or embarrassing moment that you're willing to share? Just be like, what's your most embarrassing moment that you've ever had? Just tell me this person that you're trying to date on the first date, you know?
You know how it is.
And what's the weirdest food you've tried? And then finally, if you could be in any fictional world or universe, which one would you choose and why?
Oh, that's interesting, because that's kind of like, I mean, because that opens the door to a lot of things, because maybe they're not a gamer, but they read books, and so they still have a fictional place there. Right. Maybe they don't play games or read books, but they listen to music, because music sometimes takes place in different places as well. So, like, that opens up a lot of doors. So that's a decent one.
And if they don't like any sort of content, then, like, you should just, like,
you should leave. You should just leave. Dine and dash. Just like, get out of there.
You know what? I don't think this is going to work out. You have to go, right?
I don't think this is going to work out. Okay. All right. So we have the place. We have what we're saying to them when we meet. We have the icebreaker for the dinner. And we obviously have what we're ordering. What's the next step? I mean, maybe... Because this is love advice, so we don't have to stick to a first date. So we can probably end the... So let's ask, what's the best way to end a first date? Let's ask that. What's the best way... For me, before this even answers, the best way to end a first date is, first of all, give them space. Like, don't just lean in for it. Give me a smooch! It's like, no, that's not how that works. So, like, I would say that, and, like, or, like, so let's say your plan was dinner, right? You could always ask, like, hey, when are you available and stuff. Like, so I'd probably ask, like, hey, when are you available? We can go catch a movie or something. Like, some along the lines, because you got to make plans that day too, and then you can follow up with it later.
Right. Especially if you are interested in following up. If you just like, all right, bye, and then don't even say anything, they might be like, oh, well, I guess they did have a good time. I don't know if they're gonna follow up for a second date. And then if you ask them, like, hey, you know, when are you free? When can we do something like this again? And then you're opening the door to continue that relationship instead of just leaving them unknown how they feel and leaving yourself not knowing how they feel.
Right. Yeah. So
let's see what ChatGPT says.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So you're going first, I think, right?
Yeah. Okay. Say long time. Okay, it was telling me to log in. So. ending the first date on a positive note is important for setting the stage for potential future interactions. Here are some tips on how to wrap things up gracefully. 1. Be honest but polite. If you enjoyed the date and are interested in seeing the person again, let them know. A simple, I had a great time tonight. I'd love to do this again sometime. It's clear and engaging. Or encouraging. 2. Is to express appreciation regardless of how the date went. Thank them for the time and company. A sincere thank you for a lovely evening is always appreciated. I feel like for that one, if you didn't have a good time, saying thank you for a lovely evening might give the wrong idea. But yeah. Like, don't be rude. Like, I hated being with
you. I hated everything you said.
So yeah, I sort of understand what they're going for with that one. I don't know if the wording's best.
Yeah.
Gauge their interest, pay attention to the body language and responses, see if they seem interested in continuing. If you sense they might not be interested in follow-up, be respectful and be positive. Suggest a follow-up if you're interested in a second date, suggesting a specific activity or time to meet again. This shows you are serious about wanting to continue getting to know them. Plan a safe and respectful departure. If you're in a public place, offer to call a cab or arrange a ride if they need one. If the date is ending at someone's home, make sure the departure is respectful and considerate of this race. 6. Keep it light. Ending on a light note can help keep the mood positive. You might share a light-hearted comment or inside joke from the date to leave a cheerful note. That's how I probably would end it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Follow up later if you express interest in seeing them again. Follow up with a text or a call within a day or two to confirm your interest and suggest plans. And then 8. Be clear about your intentions. If you're not interested in a second date, it's still important to be courteous. You can say something like, I enjoyed meeting you, but I don't think we're quite the right match. I wish you the best. Ending a first date well sets a positive tone and shows respect whether you're looking forward to a second date or not. I think for the most part, all that is good.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. So I got some similar stuff, basically. I got one that says, express gratitude, which I think some of you had something along the lines of that. It says, thank you, Dave, for their time and for the enjoyable experience. And then it says in quotes, if you had one. And then, for example, I had a great time tonight. Thank you for a wonderful evening. So, like, you know, express gratitude if you had a good time. If you had a horrible time, punch him in the face. He's like, well, I mean, I don't know about that one. Gauge interest for a second date. Yeah, that's like something you basically... I think it's mostly the same stuff, because it's like... I mean, it's, I think that's the difference between InfraKit, or what was InfraKit, and ChatGPT. ChatGPT has a lot of similar answers, with like, no matter what you're asking. InfraKit, though, went off the rails, and it just gave you a bunch of random stuff, so...
Yeah, InfraKit was more trying to continue the sentence you were trying to make, rather than, like, make a response that made any logical sense. It's kind of like when you hit the middle option, when it's, like, suggested what comes next in the sentence on your phone. It's like, you keep hitting that. It's kind of like that when InfraKit pops out.
I did get this. This is the one thing that's different. Physical gestures. Handshake or hug, depending on how the date went and your comfort level. Handshake or hug can be a nice way to say goodbye. And then this one, kiss on the cheek. If there is a strong connection, a kiss on the cheek can be appropriate, but gauge the situation and your date's body language. That's important. Conclusion, the best way to end the first date is be polite, honest, and clear about your feelings. Whether you want to see them again or not, leaving a good impression is key. So, there you go. A lot of your stuff is what I got, so there's some good stuff in there for sure. I definitely agree with the physical gesture thing with handshake. I'd probably handshake, it depends. Like, I guess it does depend on the situation, but I definitely would not go for a kiss at the first date. Like, I barely know you, bro.
I wouldn't go for a kiss. For the hug, I would gauge their body language if they're, like, you know, being, like, closed off, and then just kind of, like, not looking, not open. They'd be like, you know what? I'll just be like fist bump or whatever, pretty awkwardly.
Right.
But if they looked like they were interested, and also you have been paying attention to them the whole day, if you're good at dating.
Yeah.
You can kind of feel what they're looking at.
And if they lean in for a kiss, then that's a little bit different. But like for you. You got to gauge their... I mean, they're doing the same thing, I'd assume. But, like, you got to gauge their intentions there. Okay, so first date is over. It's done. Should we ask you, like... I hope it's just not going to give you the same answers. But, like, if we ask you, like, what's the good place for a second date? Or should we ask, like, how should you follow up after a first date? Like, is that a good question?
I feel like that's good.
Okay, let's do that. How should you... How should you follow up after a first date? I'm curious as to what it's going to say. Following up after a first date is crucial to showing your interest in gauging theirs. Here are some tips on how to do it effectively. Timing, same day or next day. Follow up within 24 hours shows enthusiasm without being too eager. Yeah, I mean, I guess. I'm questioning what I would consider eager. I mean, I guess, yeah, like, when you got home and they say something like that, then, yeah. Yeah, I guess 24 hours is probably fine, yeah. Content. Express gratitude. Start by thanking them for the date. Hey, person's name. I had a great time last night. Thank you for a lovely evening. Mentions specifics. Refer to something specific you talked about or did to personalize the message. That's true. I really enjoyed our conversation about... insert topic here. It was great to find... I love these parentheses things. Insert topic here. It was great to find someone who shares my interest in hobby/interest. Express interest. If you're interested in seeing them again, let them know. I'd love to do this again sometime. How about suggest an activity or time here? This is great. Method. Talk or call. Text is more casual and less intrusive, but a phone call can be more personal. Choose based on what you think your day would appreciate. I would ask them, the first day would be a thing where I'd ask them, like, hey, do you prefer if I text or call you? I prefer texting, but if you'd rather me call you, then I can do that as well. Social media, if you've connected on social media, that's a terrible idea already. A message there can be a good follow-up, but keep it casual and respectful. I don't think you should meet people on social media. I think that, to me, I mean, you do what you want, but me personally, I prefer to see people, like, if you found each other on social media and then you had a date, cool. But, like, I wouldn't follow up on social media. Like, that's a little strange.
Right, that is a little odd.
Examples, text message, hey, person's name, had a wonderful time last night. The restaurant slash activity was great, and I really enjoyed our chat about topic. Would you be interested in going to the new art exhibit next weekend? phone call. Hi, name. It's your name. Come on, man.
Hi,
name. It's your name. I just wanted to say I had a great time last night. Really enjoyed getting to know you. I'd love to meet up again if you're interested. Social media message. Hey, name. I had a blast last night. Thanks for a great company and conversation. I'd love to do something again soon if you're up for it. If they don't respond immediately, be patient. Give them some time to respond. Yeah, if you like spam those messages, first of all, that shows eagerness for sure. So yeah, give them some time to respond. People have different schedules and might need a bit of time to reply. Follow up once more. If you haven't heard back after a few days, that's a good answer. A gentle follow-up message is fine. Yeah, if a few days. Give it a few days. And if they don't respond after that, maybe it wasn't meant to be. If they're not interested, it goes right into that. Respect their decision. If they politely decline or don't seem interested, respect their decision and don't push for another date. And then stay positive. Thank them again for the date and move on gracefully. That's another key thing right there. Move on gracefully. Following up after first date is about showing appreciation, reiterating your interest and making plans for the future. If the feeling is mutual, keep it light, genuine, respectful, and leave a positive impression. So, what'd you get?
Pretty similar stuff. It says following up after first date is a crucial step in expressing your interest and continuing the connection. Here's a guide to doing it thoughtfully. Number one, send a text or a call within 24 hours. Reach out within a day to show your interest and keep the connection fresh. A brief and friendly message works well. For example, hi, name. I had a great time last night. I'd love to see you again soon if you're interested. Or a call. If you prefer a more personal touch, a short call can also be effective, especially if you had a very good time and want to express your interest clearly. Two, express appreciation. Gratitude. Thank them for the date and their company. It shows good manners and respect. Example, thank you for a lovely evening. I really enjoyed our time together. Three, mention specifics. Mention something specific from the day that you enjoyed and or found memorable. This shows you were engaged and attentive. I loved hearing about your recent trip to Italy. It sounds amazing. It does sound amazing. suggest a follow-up plan. Be clear if you're interested in seeing them again. Suggest a specific plan or activity. Example, I'd love to continue a conversation about shared interests. How about we grab a coffee next week? Five, be honest and respectful. If you're not interested in a second date, be polite and straightforward. For example, I enjoyed being with you, but I don't think it was quite the right match. I wish you all the best. Six, gauge their response. Engage, pay attention to the response. If they're enthusiastic and positive, that's a good sign. If the response is lukewarm or non-committal, it may indicate that they're not interested. Seven, be patient, avoid pressure, and give them time to respond. Don't follow up with multiple times if you don't hear back immediately. Eight, plan the next step. If positive, if they are interested, finalize details of your next meeting and keep the momentum going. If negative, respect the response and move on gracefully. Following up thoughtfully helps build a good foundation for future interactions and shows that you value the time you spend together.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. these were like, because obviously if we were to do this on Infricate, it would have been like, there would have been more funny stuff, but I'm glad it's doing the hey name. It's like, I love that it's doing that because it's really funny. Obviously, because it obviously can't insert your name, but like, it's just really funny that we've been reading it like that. Okay, so we've asked the pilot to follow up on a second date. Let's ask it, where should we go on a second date? And maybe we'll have different, if it has the exact same answers, we'll figure out a different question, but where should I go for a second date? Because second dates are different. You got to do something different. You don't want to just go out to another restaurant.
Right.
So hopefully it doesn't give me restaurants. Choosing the right place for a second date can help deepen your connection. Okay. So go ahead and, I went first last time, right? Yeah, I did, so.
Yeah. So it says, choosing a location for a second date is a great opportunity to build a connection you established on the first date. Here's some ideas to consider depending on what you learned about each other's interests and comfort levels. Now, that's a good point, because like sometimes you'd be like, I don't know anything about this person except this one thing, and then maybe you didn't actually have a good date or didn't learn anything.
Right.
But casual cafe or coffee shop. Why? It's a relaxed setting that encourages conversation and allows you to get to know each other better without too much pressure. Tip, choose a spot with a cozy atmosphere and good coffee or pastries. What if they don't like coffee?
What if they just hate coffee? Well, then you leave. Then you just leave. Get out of there.
Then you leave. They don't have any shared interests with you. Leave. Fun activity or outing. Why? Engaged in an activity can be a great way to bond and share experiences. Ideas: mini golf, bowling, arcade games, or local festival. 3. Dinner at a trendy restaurant. A nice dinner allows more depth in conversation and shows you're interested in spending quality time together. Tip, pick a place where it serves food you both enjoy and that has a comfortable atmosphere. I guess it's not the worst, but definitely not the best.
Yeah. I also don't like the word trendy. Cause like,
it didn't really feel like it fit with what the advice said.
Yeah.
But outdoor adventure, if both of you enjoy being outdoors, activities like hiking, biking, or a walk in a scenic park can be refreshing and create a relaxed environment and conversation.
I think a walk is actually pretty good. I mean, it's, if they like walking, that's really good. That's a really good second date option.
Mm-hmm. It says to make sure the activity is something you both feel comfortable doing and that aligns with your weather and fitness levels. Right? It's like if you can't even walk, like say you got crushes, like you just recently broke your arm, maybe you're walking broke your leg night.
you can't move. You're paralyzed.
Then maybe situation a little bit better. But then 5 is cooking or baking together. Making a meal or dessert together can be a fun and interactive way to get to know each other's tastes and enjoy a shared experience. Tip, choose a recipe that is relatively simple and fun, and consider a cooking class if you're looking for guided instruction. Not the worst idea.
I feel like you should do that before the date happens. Like, maybe that's just me, but like, I mean, I'm not a terrible cook, but I'm not like a master chef either. But like,
right.
If I'm making something for us, I'm definitely looking up the recipe beforehand and like learning stuff about it before I open up a class and be like, yeah, so excuse me while I watch a Gordon Ramsay video on the YouTube. It's like, wait a minute.
Yes. 6, visit a museum or art gallery. Exploring a museum or a gallery can spark interesting conversation and provide plenty of things to discuss if they're interested in
snooze fest.
Not what I would use. live entertainment. Attending a concert, comedy show, or theater performance can be a lively and enjoyable way to spend time together. It's not bad for a second date because you've already kind of gotten to know them a little bit.
I think that's more of like a third date or fourth date type thing.
Yeah. If they had said that for the first date, I'd be like, no way. That's a terrible place. Then you don't really get to know them at all.
Yeah.
And then 8 is 7. So 8, farmers market or food festival. Walking through a market or a food festival can be a casual and fun way to sample different foods and chat. I have heard similarly to that, where someone was like, they were trying to date somebody, and they're like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be too committal right now because I just got a really bad relationship. And their first date, they went, so they're like, hey, I'm going to go get some groceries, want to join me? And then they like kind of went from there to doing other stuff with them that like they built off of that. So that's not a bad plan.
I was going to say, getting groceries sounds like initially stupid, but then you realize how much of your personality can come out while you're shopping, because like people can cut in front of you, people can like steal something you're looking at, and like, or people, it also challenges your critical thinking, because like, let's be honest, the store is like a battlefield, because you got to prevent yourself from like going after everything that you want. Like, oh, hey, here's some Doritos. Can't have that, but I'll buy it anyway. You know, like that kind
of
stuff.
Right. It's like, I have $2 in my wallet and I'm out of food. Yeah. I'm going to buy a candy bar.
Yeah, right. So it's like, it's a mental battle too. So yeah, a lot of stuff comes out when you're doing that.
And local event or workshop. Attending a local event, workshop, or class can be a unique way to bond over shared interests or learn something new together. And maybe not the second date, but yeah. I can kind of see what they're going for. And then 10, picnic in the park. A picnic offers a relaxed setting and a chance to enjoy a meal outdoors. It's casual, affordable, and can be tailored to include your favorite foods. Plan ahead with a basket of snacks, drinks, and a blanket. No, just like go to a park and be like, all right, let's have a picnic right here.
No, oh, I don't preparation. That'd be so funny. Okay, so what I got is I got a lot of the same stuff. But I got picnic in the park is what you just said. Coffee shop or cafe. I think coffee shop's a decent second date. Because like I'd rather go to a restaurant the first date, but a coffee shop is a pretty good second date. Local market or food festival, that'd be kind of fun. Activities, mini golf or bowling, I love both of those, so that's genius. Hiking or nature walk, I love nature walks. Hiking, it depends on the trail. There's a lot of hiking trails that I'm like, no, I don't think I'd do that. But nature walks are fun. Especially if you like nature. If you're just like, I hate nature so much, then obviously you're not going to want to do that.
Yeah, be like, you said it depends on the hiking trail. Like, just go to Mount Everest for the second day, you know?
Let's climb Everest. Let's see, a museum or art gallery, snooze fest to me. Entertainment or concert, live music or comedy show. I think I'm not the biggest contender for either of those. I don't like live music just because it's so damn loud and it's so crowded and I don't like being there. Comedy show, to me, they're just never actually funny. I mean, there's a couple people I've seen that are actually funny, but they're mostly not even comedians. Cooking class or workshop? A workshop would be interesting. That's not a thing I would even think about, but that's an interesting idea. So yeah, that's a majority of what I got, but I got a lot of, oh wait, I got, no, you said that, you said, or did you say rock climbing? Was rock climbing one of the things you said?
I don't think it was on my list.
Oh, I got rock climbing. Rock climbing can be fun and attentive, and it shows you how to your teamwork skills. I mean, I guess because some rock climbs are like professional where you have a harness. Because if you fall, you might get injured. So I guess teamwork can be fun like, there.
Long live the king. Is the
long live the king. Oh my god, I'm just picturing that right now. You're like, you make it to the top first, and they get to the very top. They're like, yes, I made it. Can you believe it? You're just like, long live the king. You push them off. Oh my god, that is hilarious. That's the best ever. Okay, well, too bad ChatGPT didn't recommend that idea.
It didn't recommend murder for a second date.
Yeah, I know. It's like, that would be murder. They'd have a harness. They'd be fine. Long live the king. You're not even the king, so there's other people that are probably up there with you. But, okay.
They really got
it. Your date never spoke to you again. So good.
There's one way to end.
And see, oh, you know what? That'd be the perfect plan if you're not actually interested in them. You just like live the king of off the cliff. Obviously, because it'd be fine because they're harnessed in, so it's not like you're actually doing any damage. But it's like it's just really stupid. Okay, so we got our second date location. So I'm trying to think. Like, you don't really need icebreakers on the second date, or at least you hopefully shouldn't. We could add. What do you think is a good question to ask for this? Like, what's the next question we ask?
I'm not quite sure.
We could ask like,
do you push them off the mountain?
Do you say "Long live the king" and push them off? ChatGPT is gonna be like, "No, you idiot! What are you talking about?"
Yeah, like, I cannot recommend doing any illegal activities.
Yeah, see, that's another difference between Infricate and ChatGPT. ChatGPT's answer to that would be, "Absolutely not! You don't want to endanger them or whatever." Infricate would be like, "Yes, do it."
Yeah, it's like the Google and Bing memes. It's like, how to cure depression, and then like Google or something like, oh, you know, therapy and doing things you enjoy, and like Bing takes a darker route.
Okay, so I figured out another question, because I think I think this is a good, because we're at about 50, almost 55 minutes. So I think this is a good, last question. So I'm going to ask, how to find out if your significant other is the one for you? So significant other is the one for you. Cause like people always talk about like, oh, are they the one for me or whatever. Okay. I'm very curious to see what they're going to answer to this. Okay. So I go first, right? For this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Determining if your significant other is the one involves assessing various aspects of your relationship and how well they align with your long-term goals. Here are some key factors to include. Shared values and goals. Future plans. Do you both have similar long-term goals, such as marriage, children, or career aspirations? Core values. Are your values and beliefs compatible, including views on family, finances, and lifestyle? Emotional connection. Trust and communication. Do you feel comfortable being open and honest with each other? Is there more mutual trust and effective communication? Emotional support. Do you support each other through challenges and celebrate each other's successes? Compatibility, lifestyle fit. Do your lifestyles and daily routines compete with each other? Are there any major differences that cause friction? Interests and hobbies. While you don't need to share every interest, having some common activities can strengthen your bond. That is true. Conflict, handling disagreements. How do you both handle conflicts and disagreements? Are you able to resolve issues constructively without escalating tensions? Respect and compromise. Are you willing to compromise and respect each other's perspectives? That's very important as well. That's honestly kind of what this podcast is all about. Is like, can we have a conversation with each other? Like, if we disagree, which we often do, can we all have a conversation with each other? I think that's kind of what's, because that's unfortunately been lost in the Gen Z wake. Growth and change, personal growth. Does your partner encourage your personal growth, and vice versa? Are you both evolving in a positive direction together? Adaptability. Are you both able to adapt to changes and challenges that arise in the relationship? Oh my god, there's so many of these. I'm just going to not read every one of them. Sense and belonging. Comfort and safety. You feel a deep sense of comfort and safety when you're with your partner. Commitment and effort. Mutual effort. Is there a balanced effort in maintaining? Yeah, there needs to be balance. Perfectly balanced is all things should be. Reflect on personal feelings. Gut feelings. Sometimes your intuition can play a significant role. Do you have a strong sense that this person's right for you? I think gut feelings can be wrong sometimes. I definitely have had gut feelings and I'm like, oh, that's probably gonna be correct, but like, I've definitely had gut feelings that were very wrong, so I don't think gut can be trusted 100%. If you want to go with it, that's up to you, but I don't personally believe that it can be trusted 100% of the time. Fulfillment. Does being with your partner make you feel fulfilled and content in a way that aligns with your vision for a happy future? Personal guidance. Counseling. If you're uncertain or facing significant challenges, relationship counseling or therapy can provide guidance and help you both explore your capability and issues. I haven't heard many people that go to relationship counseling that actually stayed together. I mean, maybe there's some that I just haven't heard about because they don't like say anything about it. But a lot of times I see where they go to therapy, like it's kind of already doomed at that point, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's what I got. What'd you get?
Very similar stuff. You got to assess shared values and goals, and values reflect on whether you share the core values as family, career, and lifestyle. Values are often foundational to long-term compatibility. And then, goals, consider if your future goals align, like plans for marriage, children, and proposal aspirations. Obviously, if you want children and your spouse doesn't want children, then that can be not great.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Evaluate communication and conflict resolution. Communicate, observe, how we communicate with each other, open, honest, and respectful. Communication is crucial for a healthy relationship. That's true, because, like, if you are, like, having, on the surface, positive interactions, but, like, you really feel terrible about certain things, then... and you're not honest with them, that would just lead to problems down the line. So I definitely agree with that. And conflict resolution being pay attention to how conflicts are handled. Healthy relationships involve resolving disagreements constructively and respectfully. That I would agree with, because I've seen so many people be like, oh yeah, I've had this conflict in my relationship and I just never addressed it or never try to find a solution. Just try to ignore it, cover it up, all that stuff, and like, it never ends up very well.
Yeah.
And then, is physical and emotional chemistry. The second one I would say is more important, but it is a little bit of the physical. The chemistry reflect on the level of physical attraction and emotional chemistry. Both are important to romantic relationship. Affection, evaluate how you both express and receive affection, whether it aligns with your needs. So yeah, I mean, like, it's not like a 50-50 with the, like, physical and emotional chemistry, but it's like, I would say maybe like 40% physical, 60% emotional, I would say would be the best balance. Yeah. And obviously everyone's different, so the values might be different. That's just like a rough number.
Yeah, I think, like, having a strong, like, the thing is, having a strong emotional thing, to me, I feel like is a bit more important. Because, like, if you don't have a strong emotional connection, then that's very bad. Because that's what leads to, right. Like, abuse and stuff. Like, you don't want to go down those roads. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, yeah, I think that that's a good last question to have there. Did you want to have any final thoughts? Or final things about what the AI has told us? Here's a good question. Do you think we would have a successful date if we actually listened to it right now?
I would say if you followed it roughly, you could get a successful date. And it also depends on the person. Yeah. But like none of this advice, I was like, that's a terrible plan. Why would you even consider that? Most of it was like, okay, maybe tweak a few things here or there, but most overall, I would say it's pretty good advice.
Well, I was going to say it too, as long as you don't do the long live the king thing to them, I think you'll be pretty okay.
Well, ChatGPT didn't tell me to do that. I decided that, salt, I think that's what that would be classified as, is definitely not the way to go.
Well, if you think about it, ChatGPT didn't say it, but they didn't say you shouldn't do it. So
it
did
not tell me to assault your date.
Long live the king. Still can't get over there. So I definitely agree with you. If you followed this to a T, you might run into some issues. Well, because also too, like, you're not gonna say every pickup line that it gave us. So it's important to it depends on the situation, because a lot of these are just general things, because there's a lot of different situations you're going to be in where some of these rules don't apply, where, like, if, like, let's say the kiss in the cheek thing, for example, is a great aspect. Like, if they're not feeling it and you need to read their body language, then don't obviously go for that, and don't go for worse either. So, like, you got to definitely read the moment, you got to read the person, you got to read the situation correctly, because if you read those incorrectly, then things can get out of hand.
Right.
So you definitely need to do that. So yeah, if you follow this to a T, you might run into some issues, depending on the situation you're in. But if you follow this pretty roughly, I think you'll be okay, especially with a lot of the general stuff. And like I said, I think for me, my ideal first date is definitely a restaurant. I think a restaurant's just like the best way to, because you're sitting across from them, so you're getting your face-to-face the entire time. It's a good conversation thing where you can just talk for a while, and then you get eating, and then you get a sense of what their favorite foods are and stuff. So it's a really good first date. Second date, I love the idea of bowling. I think bowling is a great second date. In all honesty, I'm okay with, like, bowling. The nature walk sounded cool. So, like, a lot of those, like, a lot of casuals. Oh, yeah, the coffee I mentioned, too. I think getting coffee at a cafe is a genius idea, too. I think it gave me a lot of stuff that I probably would agree with myself. And, John, I don't know about you, but that's how I feel about it. I think that's a good place to end this episode. So yeah, we're over an hour now. So that's gonna do it. John, big surprise. Cue the audience clap. John has won. Big surprise, John. Do you have a winner speech for being such a good winner?
I feel like it was definitely a hard-earned fight to win this particular episode. You know, my competitor silence really put a good foot forward, and it was a good game.
Yeah. I mean, I was gonna say your competitor had about 27 points. You had 28 points, so you only really won by 1 point.
It was a very close game.
And then so there you go. So what, Billy Bill Bob, what do you say for losing? You did lose, so how dare you? That's great. I was gonna plan for like to put like some sort of like mumble jumble, or I was gonna do the Charlie Brown teacher sound there. So there you go. John is one big surprise. That's gonna do it for this episode, guys. So thank you so much for listening. We hope to provoke the conversation, made you laugh along the way. You can find me on YouTube. I don't know, and this I'm taking a slight break from YouTube. I don't think I said that at the beginning. Just because I need to focus on other things right now. I'm getting a job. I don't know if I mentioned that as well. Oh, no, I mentioned that to John. I did not mention that to you guys. But I'm in the midst of getting a job, so I need to focus on that right now. Once I have said job, I'll probably be able to figure out a schedule for YouTube. But right now, I'm not worried about it. So you can still catch all the previous stuff. You can catch, obviously, all the 1,000 videos I have over there. So you can still catch me over there, but just don't expect any new uploads for right now. But FlyBsXy Gaming, that's the handle. You can find John at Jeevens Feevens. He is streaming now, I believe. I don't know if you have a consistent schedule going just yet, but he did stream the other day. So you can find him at Jeevens Feevens. He played Resident Evil. Was that what you said?
Yep.
Yeah, so, and I'm sure he's going to be playing some other games as well. So go check him out over there. And Noah's not here, so he doesn't get to be plugged. Check out the Patreon. We have our Patreons. You can check out all our stuff. So there's two different types of Patreon. You have the subscriptions tiers, and you have the extended cuts. The tiers range from $1 all the way to $100, depending on how much you want to spend. The more you spend, the more behind-the-scenes you get. It's all behind-the-scenes stuff. And if you're crazy and spend $100, the $100 tier allows you to be in the podcast for an episode. And only two people can be in that tier once. So that's only if you're crazy. With the extended cuts, they're like little mini episodes that we wouldn't be able to fit into a normal podcast episode. Like Kiss, Marry, Kill, for example, and I think is a great example for that, because we would not be able to extend that to a full episode without it getting boring and repetitive. That's like those little mini segments. The host doesn't matter necessarily. There's no points, there's no headlines, there's no creator showcase. It's all just straight topic. I think it's like 30 to 40 minutes, so go check them out. The first five are $3, that way you can dip your toes into it a little bit and see if you even like that format, and if you don't, then great, it's over. If you do like it, though, then you can check out all the other ones that we have over there. And I think that's going to do it. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.